If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only Miss Fortune Feimster.
Whoop, whoop. How's it going?
How are you? Welcome. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. You know, just living life. That 2022 so far is real interesting.
Are you like a big New Year's person? Do you get into New Year's Eve?
I used to, back in the day, it used to seem like, oh, this magical night, you know, but then once my wife and I met and we had a couple exciting New Year's Eves, and then now we're like those ladies that, you know, 5 o'clock dinner and then on the couch.
There's nothing I see.
Watching the ball drop.
I see nothing positive about going out for New Year's. So I am so right there with you.
Well, the older I get, the less I like huge crowds too. And that's a pre-COVID thing too. Not even COVID time. Is that been an issue, but yeah, I'm just not into the big, like where you're like shoulder to shoulder with people.
You're like, let me just stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I've been doing home besides doing this podcast is I just watched Sex Appeal, this great nice. New, such a good movie.
Oh, thank you.
How did you get involved in that?
They had, my agents had seen the script, really loved it, thought it was like really unique. And so, she had told me like, you know, you should read this, script and see what you think. And I thought it was so funny and clever, and I really loved it. And then I just had Zoom meetings with the director, and we hit it off, and she was like, we had talked about a couple different characters and what we thought, you know, made sense, and then landed on this one. And so yeah, I was shocked that they wanted me to play a mom.
One of three moms.
This baby face right here. But our director, Talia, was just had so many cool, fun ideas. And I think also being a lesbian mom takes you away from the traditional mom anyway. And so I liked that idea of just stepping into a whole different type of role.
And you got to work with Margaret Cho.
Yes, I love Margaret. We have worked quite a bit together over the years, and so this was cool to team back up again and we were exes in this film.
I love
it. But very friendly exes who were trying to co-parent.
Exes who live next door to each other.
Yes.
I just had Margaret on this show very recently, and she said there was a pilot that the two of you shot with Tina Fey, mm-hmm. where it was like an all-girls school. I forgot the part you were going to play. And I'm like, somebody needs to find this pilot on whatever shelf it's on and dust it off like immediately.
That show, getting the no on that show was such a heartbreaker, because I do, and I think Margaret probably felt the same way. I do believe it would have been a hit. We were the result of the regime changing. The president of the network got fired, and when new people come in, they usually kind of wipe the slate clean. And we had not gotten an official pickup. We had been told that we were unofficially picked up, and that they would be giving us more information. And then the president got fired, and that was that. And it was such a heartbreak because it was so funny. Yeah, it was about this all-girls women's college. I played an RA. And I got to be like the wrangling all the other students, and Margaret was the dean. It was pretty great.
It's like you, Margaret Cho, and Tina Fey, like producing. I'm like,
Yeah.
do we need to know anything else? I
I mean,
mean,
and that's the thing about Tina and her writing partner, Robert Carlock. They are like joke machines. It was just like one joke after another. And when anyone says no to a show that they're at the helm of, you're like, really? That's a wild decision.
yeah, that's so wild. Do you ever get used to that, you know, like being in Hollywood and just like, do you get used to like the no's or like really wanting something and getting close to it? And then here we are. I mean, there's a lot of yeses you get,
Right.
obviously, but
I get a lot of no's too. I mean, Hollywood is, I'll never not be surprised by things in this business. Because it is a business where a lot of things don't make sense. There's a lot of decisions that are made based on, you know, financial reasons or fear of failing or whoever's in charge. I mean, there's so many things that lead to no's. And you go, really? How is like all this stuff in the air? It's trash, and you're saying no to this. And so I've just learned to like take the no's a little less personal as I've gotten older, as I've gotten more experience in the business. It doesn't make it hurt any less. You still feel that sting whenever you don't get something you really wanted. But you are conditioned to have a thicker skin because you just have experienced so many no's. But it makes you appreciative of the yeses, that's for sure.
What about like when you first got to LA, like when you started your career, you were an entertainment journalist doing in a way what I do now. Like, was that your goal? Like when you were growing up in North Carolina, did you want to be an entertainment journalist, or was that just like the stop to comedy?
It was a pay my bills kind of job. I didn't really know growing up what I wanted to do. I didn't have like a specific vision. I moved to LA for a different job, and then just this journalism job fell in my lap, truly. And I loved it because it was like being entertainment, like on camera adjacent. I got to like interview all the people that were doing the thing that I thought was so cool, like the comedians and the actors and the writers. So I was like taking in all this information about the business via that job. And so it felt like I was still in the world. But I didn't really discover comedy yet. I took the journalism job as just like a cool experience and a way to pay my bills. And then I started taking improv classes, truly as just a means to make friends. And it quickly became a passion. So from then on, I was like, how do I become a full-time comedian? How do I pay my bills doing this job? Doing this thing I really love, but I had to pay my bills, and comedy does not afford that for a very long time. So the journalism job really saved me. It allowed me to work during the day, take care of my the things that we all have to take care of while pursuing what I really loved at night.
When you were doing that job, like, did you interview someone where you were just, you know, totally nervous? Like, did you screw up, like, when you're interviewing someone big ever? Like, any war stories?
I was always nervous because I covered a I did two there were two facets of the job. One was the in-person like events, so the movie premieres and the award shows. And you're on a red carpet. There's a lot of pressure because the celebrities go through so quick. You got to get out all these questions, and you're trying not to ask them the same 50 question they've been asked. So that always felt like a lot of pressure. But then I had the other part of the job was I would talk to people on the phone for like 20 to 30 minutes and just kind of find out more about them as a person. That I enjoyed because it allowed you to like just kind of get to know whoever the person was. So I had one of those with like Betty White. That was pretty incredible. To talk to her for 30 minutes on the phone was just like, I can't believe this. I met Julie Andrews in person twice. I interviewed her at events. I always liked those like really legendary actors, those veterans. I watched Dick Van Dyke watch himself in Mary Poppins,
Wow.
which was a trip. So those things are the part of my that job I'll always remember.
What was Betty White like?
Oh my God, as lovely as you would ever hope, you know, so friendly, never acted, she was never, you know, some people we would talk to, you could tell they felt like it was a job. Like, I'm talking to you because so and so made me, whatever
Yes.
movie
Oh,
I'm
trust
doing
me, I
for,
know.
yeah, right? She seemed to genuinely like to talk to people, and she was very kind to me. And at the end of the conversation, she said, "Now stay my friend." And you just felt, and I'm, you know, that could have been her signature phrase, but you really felt like you were her friend. And that's just such a gift that she had to make people feel like that.
Those are the best interviews. Like, you really, I think a lot of times people mean it. You know, like it is the business and that it doesn't happen. But to me, I agree. I think it's like it could be really genuine, like in the moment. And that's, I'm like, okay,
Yeah,
that's
you're just having like a human conversation.
totally.
I had that with Rachel McAdams. I interviewed her for the wedding planner. Is that the wedding crasher? The wedding crashers.
Yeah.
I had like a just a really human interview with her, and you know that stuff is meaningful. You never forget it.
You never forget it. So when you started doing comedy and you said, wow, like right away, you're like, this is it. Like, this is what I was meant to do.
Yeah, I did this improv class and just I had done some plays in college, but I wasn't very good. I had terrible stage fright. So I had in my head like this love of like wanting to perform, but in practice I was a deer in headlights. And with improv, I was like, I'm just gonna try it. Maybe it could help me get rid of this fear. And it did. It just made me get like whatever was holding me back, it just washed that all away. And it saved me. I mean, I could not do what I do if I had stage fright now.
No, you cannot.
So I'm so grateful because it, you know, took out the anxiety of the job,
Well, you
you
got
know.
into the Groundlings. I mean, that's not so easy.
Yeah, I did the Sunday company with them for a year and a half. So for I went through the school and all the those levels for like 5 years and then did that Sunday company for a year and a half. So every Sunday we got to put on a new sketch show, and it was like amazing training. Nothing I've done in this business has trained me as well as that did.
Were you in the Groundlings, like in the Sunday rounds with anyone? Like, because everyone's gone through, like, who were your colleagues at the time?
Taron Killam was right at was we did Sunday Company together. He went on to do SNL, and Nassim Pedrad was on there with him. Jillian Bell's one of my best friends. She and I were in there together. She's been in everything, Workaholics and Idiot Sitter and tons of movies. But yeah, then you had the veterans that always are very involved that come back that give you advice or watch your shows. Melissa McCarthy would come watch shows and was very supportive. Kristen Wiig came to our shows, and yeah, Will Forte came and went out with us for drinks afterwards. It was like a really cool place that, you know, was where people would come back and you know, just be very supportive of the people in the program.
I love it. Well, you went on to do Last Comic Standing and Chelsea Lately. What moment for you was like your first big break? Like, was it getting into the Groundlings? Was it Chelsea Lately? Like, what did you consider, like you said, like there's all those lean years, like, oh wait, this is the thing.
Yeah, I've had several of those moments where you just like pinch yourself like, oh, this is that thing that you've been waiting for. The first smaller one, but that felt huge at the time, and it was Last Comic Standing. That was my first television appearance. It was the first time people recognized me in, you know, out and about. You know, I saw you on that show, and that was like a real pinch me moment because I had been behind the scenes for many years in LA doing tons of shows and nobody knew who I was. So that was really cool, but I was still running into not being able to get a job, not being able to get representation, you know, being broke. So it felt like a cool moment, but it wasn't moving the needle per se.
Right.
So the Chelsea show was certainly that huge, huge break for me. It was what, I mean, I cried when I got the job because I'd been given so many no's and so many people didn't know what to do with me. And I was different. And at the time, that was not a positive thing. And she was the first person that viewed me being different as a feather in my cap. And they, told me I got the job and then were gonna pay me a salary. And I mean, it changed my life. I literally didn't know how I was gonna pay my rent the next month.
Wow.
And it came at a time where I was like at a true crossroads. And so I'm always grateful for that show.
Did you ever think of like giving up? You know, it's a tough business before you get your big break.
Once I discovered the passion, I never thought of giving up because I think half of people's battles in life is even finding out what they want to do. That's like anyone that's like, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I'm passionate about. I'm like, oh, that sucks. 'Cause I feel so grateful that I found the passion. I found the thing. At least gave me a something to work towards. I think when you're just like flailing about, you're like, I don't even know what I'm working towards. That's harder. So even in those harder times, I still had the vision. It was just like I said earlier, you still gotta pay your bills. But I knew that I would have done anything to keep it going. If I had to get a job, whatever odd job, I would do that to keep the lights on. So and to keep paying the classes were the most expensive, to be honest. That the groundling stuff is not cheap. So I was also working towards training, buying wigs, buying costumes. None of that was inexpensive. But I started tutoring kids part time and had that journalism job and whatever. I would have been a barista if that's what it would have required
Whatever it
to make it.
took.
Yeah, exactly.
What was working on Chelsea lately like?
Very silly, very fun. We laughed, like belly laughed all day, every day. It still was sort of more corporate than people realize, because we were writers, so we had like you have to be here by like 9 o'clock. If you were late, you were in trouble. There's no strolling in with your sunglasses at whatever time. You can't, you leave at 6 or later, not before. You have to ask permission to get coffee. There was a still big corporate vibe to it, but at least you were surrounded by really funny people. And so we had a real camaraderie among the writers of just hanging out and trying to make each other laugh.
Were you ever late?
Yeah, everybody was at some point. You had to, apologize and I won't do
Be
it
like, I've been here long enough, you
again
know, I'm good at this. Just cut me some
kind
slack today.
of thing. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But you all run into things where you would just text them and be like, I'm really sorry, traffic sucks.
You're like,
But it was
sorry.
stressful. That part of the job was my least favorite part, was the corporate micromanage part, because if you're a comedian, you by nature don't like that. You want to spread your wings and fly. So I think after a while, I realized that the corporate world was not for me.
What about growing up? Like, who were your comedic inspirations? Or like when you first were breaking into the business?
Definitely Carol Burnett was an early influence and continues to be so. That was because she was the first comedian I watched because my grandmother really loved her show, the Carol Burnett Show, and would always have the reruns on. So I would watch that a lot with my grandmother and really like belly laugh at her and her antics. So I think a lot of my silliness kind of started watching her. And then I was a big SNL fan. I watched it religiously every Saturday and every cast, different eras of cast. The one that first resonated with me were the Sandler and Chris Farley and David Spade, that group. And then the Will Ferrell, Molly Shannon, Sherry O'Terry group really was a big influence too.
Do you still watch SNL religiously today?
I I still watch it. Sometimes I'm like a month behind on it. I still try to skim through it because I'm just always curious about what they're doing and what the performers are doing. I think it's just a habit at this point.
I record it and get to it like a month later
Yeah,
also.
right. It's not the same as I think when you're younger and you're just, I was so fascinated with it. It's a little different now because I guess you know how the sausage is made when you're a comedian. It's
That's
not,
true.
it doesn't have the magical thing it used to, but it's also my age.
And like, does anyone watch TV in real time
I know,
anymore
right?
anyway?
I don't think so.
I certainly don't.
Yeah.
What about, talk to me about being on the Mindy Project.
Oh, I loved it. I've been very lucky to work for some pretty incredible women in particular. I've had some really strong, smart, successful women at the helm of projects that I've been on. So I went from Chelsea to I left Chelsea and did a pilot, that pilot with Tina Fey, and then did another pilot with Tina Fey of that I wrote. So I got to work with her for about a year and a half. And then from that show, I got the Mindy Project, and Mindy's incredible. It's just one of the smartest people I've met. And the writing was so sharp. I never had to even think about my lines or the plot. I mean, they were so on it that you just show up and deliver this really funny material. And everyone was so nice. And that was my first, like, that's where I really learned more about acting. It's where I learned about techniques and marks and the technical part of filming. And so I learned a ton on that show. And I feel like that was a show that really opened up the acting door a lot more for me.
What's like one of the main things you learned from Mindy Kaling?
I mean, I don't think she ever stops. I definitely learned that, you know, the drive, watching her just juggle so many things and never seem tired. She was always prepared. You know, there was never, I never heard a complaint or, I mean, she just juggled like eight things and just did it so seamlessly. So I love just seeing like a boss, like a just a true boss and just a very creative person as well. I learned a lot from just seeing how she carried herself.
I think that's such a misperception about this business too. People think like this person's famous. I'm like, no one makes it without working
Oh
night and
yeah.
day. Sorry. Like,
Yeah, and she was always, you know, on, you know, Mindy was the show she was working on and that was her focus, but she was also creating like five other things, you know, at the same time. So I think she, you know, she's already been putting out Never Have I Ever, and then the one that just came out with the Sex Lives, I can't remember the
yeah.
name of it. I think she's gonna keep putting out like show after show after show. She's just that smart and she works with smart people.
I love Mindy. Do you
Yeah.
have a famous, like, you've been on so many shows? I love the L Word, Claws, Two Broke Girls, Glee. Yeah, let's not forget a little Niecy Nash and Claws. I mean,
I pop in a lot to places just
you
for,
do.
you know, a little boop here and there.
But so many memorable, like, mini parts. Like, do you have a favorite set that you were like a guest star on?
Oh gosh. I'm trying to think. There's been, yeah, like that's kind of been my thing. People are always like, I see you everywhere. But I love that thing where people want you to come in and play like a really bonkers character. Like with Claws was so fun because I was this lawyer with these big nails and, you know, Niecy was awesome. I love that show.
It's such a good show.
I was supposed to come back for another episode, but then timing wise, something happened. And she kept, even while I was there, being like, we gotta bring you back. And then I think it just didn't make sense that with the character. But it was really cool. Probably my favorite guest star, I recurred, but was Life in Pieces. It was a show on CBS. And the people that it had like 5 or 6 million viewers a week, which in these times is really great.
Yeah.
But it was a show that was for sure under the radar, even though it had that kind of viewership. But it was an inc the cast was incredible, and I got to work with Diane Wiest a lot, and she's the nicest person. I adore her. She's just like this You just want to like hug her and just be around her. She has this warm, warm energy, and the whole cast is really great. And that, so I just did 7 episodes of that on that show for over 4 seasons. And that show, I travel all over the country, and that is a show people come up to me about constantly. And I don't think anyone would ever guess that show, you know what I mean? But the character they created for me was so wild and bonkers, that it truly was such a memorable role for me.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon slash spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Bombas's mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you're also giving to someone who's in need. Bombas designed their socks, shirts, and underwear to be the most comfortable clothes you can't wait to put on every day. Everything they make is soft, seamless, tagless, which is my favorite part, and has a luxurious, cozy feel. Now you guys are listening to my podcast, so you're all reality TV fans. I'm sure you've seen Bombas on Shark Tank. Shout out Damon John. And listen, do you know that socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the 3 most requested clothing items at homeless shelters? That's why Bombas donates 1 for every item you buy. Their socks come in so many colors and patterns. So far, Bombas customers like yourself have helped donate over 50 million items of essential clothing. Go to bombas.com/velvet and get 20% off any purchase. That's bombas.com/velvet for 20% off. bombas.com/velvet. As some of you know, prior to being the host of the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast, I ran HR and recruiting at many companies in New York. And the one tool that I couldn't live without when I hired for the company was Indeed. If you're hiring, you too need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements or you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. And I use Indeed now, and Behind the Velvet Rope, how do you think I found my great assistant? Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/velvet. Offer valid through March 31st. Go to Indeed.com/velvet to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/velvet. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I have to tell you about a new nutritional product that I started using called Athletic Greens. Now, I started taking Athletic Greens because I wanted better gut health, I wanted more energy, and I wanted to optimize immune system. Well, let me tell you, what I love best about Athletic Greens is it's easy. I personally didn't have, and never will have time for any nutritional product that is complicated to use. So here's the thing. Athletic Greens, you take one scoop and you add 8 ounces of water, and that's all you need. Also, the other thing I love about Athletic Greens, it actually tastes great and it's inexpensive. It costs less than $3 a day. Also, I love it. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, so there's no nasty chemicals or anything artificial. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/velvet. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/velvet to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. On Wondery's podcast, Even the Rich, co-hosts Brooke and Arisha share the stories behind some of the most famous and infamous celebrities in our history. From my personal queen, Madonna, to Britney Spears, to the Kardashians, to the House of Gucci. And in an all-new season, they investigate the shocking kidnapping of heiress Patty Hearst. Even the Rich gives you the inside scoop on the drama that keeps these families in the spotlight, how the dynasties were built, and the lengths they are willing to go to protect the family name. I love this show because it's part history, part comedy, part gossip, which you know I love, and completely fascinating. And if you want a little more Brooke and Arisha in your life, they're the perfect guides to give you your daily dose of celebrity gossip on Rich and Daily. How is Britney's new life post-conservatorship? You want to know? Go and listen to Brooke and Arisha. And I have to say, on this new season of Even the Rich, I am obsessed now with this Patty Hearst story. Listen to Even the Rich, Patty Hearst, and Rich and Daily on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Do you guys do what I do every January? First, you think about the year prior of all the things you didn't accomplish that you wanted to. Then you make a bunch of New Year's resolutions. And as soon as you break them, you feel bad about yourself. Are you in your own mind the way I was? Well, get out of your mind. Let me tell you, therapy can help you learn to be kinder and gentler to yourself and help you move forward. I have to tell you guys about Talkspace. Talkspace has been a miracle for me. First of all, they match you with a licensed therapist that you can connect with not only from your computer, but from your phone, anywhere on the go. I also love that Talkspace focuses on your schedule. They fit your schedule, not the other way around. With live chat, video, and audio sessions, you could easily fit mental health into your daily routine. I also love that your information is extremely private and it's just between you and your therapist. Listen, Talkspace can help you with anything, anxiety, depression, self-doubt. Make your mental health more than just another New Year's resolution with Talkspace. Visit Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month when you use promo code VELVET at sign up. That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code VELVET. You guys know how busy I am recording and bringing you this podcast 5 days a week. I don't have a minute to myself, but when I wake up every morning, I allow myself 1 hour. And the one thing I turn to every morning is Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a mobile puzzle game that anyone can download and play. Whether you have a few minutes or a few hours, it's the perfect puzzle game because literally you lose yourself and just unwind. I'm on level 12. I've referred so many of my friends to Best Fiends. And well, listen, they've surpassed me in the level. There are literally thousands of levels to this game. It features tons of cute characters that help you solve thousands and tons of puzzles. And the more you win, the more challenges you face. I'm telling you, if you need to unwind, Best Fiends is a great solution. And look, don't take my word for it. Best Fiends has over 100 million downloads. Download Best Fiends for free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Download it today and have fun. And when people come up, like, you know, you're on tour now, which we'll get into in a second. Like, that's the show people want to mention. I'm more than
they
like,
mention it a ton. Wow. They're like, Dougie, we love Dougie. And I was like, whoa, I've been in Italy and people have been like, Dougie. I'm like, this is so crazy. So the part about that show that bums me out the most is that, and again, they were a product of the regime changing. they didn't know that they were ending when they ended season four. So they never got to have their swan song. And I hate that the show that was so good. The writing was incredible. The cast was incredible. And to not have gotten to like have some sort of goodbye stinks.
But that's the worst.
That's the world that we're in.
That is the world that we're in. I don't think COVID has helped anything either.
No, COVID came pretty soon after that. So, but they were like so close to hitting their like 100 episodes, which for those non-industry folks, 100's the sweet spot you want to get to for syndication and whatnot. But I'm like, just give them one more season.
Seriously, let's just wrap this up. Mm-hmm. What about Glee? I mean, I have vivid memories of you on Glee.
I just did, again, one episode for that. I think I was in the second to the last episode ever. And it was an interesting time on the Glee world, that set, because I had watched it like everybody else. It was such a phenomenon at the time. It started trickling down, you know, their last like two seasons. I was kind of left to my own devices. Truth be told, I think everybody had checked out. They were just like, bye bye, we're done. I didn't even know who the director was. Like, we just were like there, and they were just like, here's where you're going to sit. Deliver your line, and that's that. And I hadn't done a ton of TV at the time, and I was like, is this how it works? Like, nobody's really telling me what to do. And I was a judge for one of the competitions, and I was a dog trainer, so they brought a poodle in, and the poodle like snapped at my face and missed. This is like a giant poodle, missed my nose by like half an inch. So it was a very wild experience, but I'm glad I got to do it, because it was cool to like just be a part of that show, and it was cool to watch how they did the performances. I mean, those actors had to, they like lip sync to themselves. They'd already recorded the song, but they had to perform it like 50 times.
Wow. Yeah. So wait, so you had lines though, or it was like, it wasn't like improv, but it was like,
just do
whatever you want. Like it was so like,
no,
everyone
it
was
like scripted, like do the script, but it wasn't, I think in the earlier days, you know, everyone was way more involved and way more invested. Second and last episode, they were just like, whatever, we're getting out of here.
Leah Michelle's like, okay, whatever. We have one more episode. Get me out of here.
But I'm friends with Chris Colfer, so that was really fun. He was so sweet, and we hung out, and it was basically like me just getting to hang out with my friend for 2 days.
Dogs, I have such an irrational fear of being bit by a dog, so that would have...
Really?
Just like when your hands and your face are near a dog's mouth, it's like, things happen, people. Well, that's just my thing.
We worked with a ton of dogs on the Mindy Project, because my character was roommates with Ike Barinholtz's character, and his character had like 20 dogs. So we had tons of dogs around that set, and they were all like, I never had like any issue. They were wonderful. But yeah, that poodle was feisty, and it was not having it with me. And I mean, it truly almost bit my nose off.
Beware of the poodles, guys. Well, you are back out on tour now, the Too Sweet, Too Salty tour.
Yeah.
Do you love being on the road, and do you love doing live, and do you love doing stand-up?
Yeah, I love stand-up because it's the one part of my career that nobody else controls, really. I mean, they control it in the sense of like where you put your special and whatnot. But, you know, anytime in the business when if people don't get me or there's a lull, like the beauty is you always have stand up to go out there, connect with audiences yourself. You completely cut out the middleman, and you can show people exactly who you are. It's such a gift to have that in my life. And also as an actor, you know, for someone like me, acting roles are not there every week, every month. It's a very specific, like we're looking for this type, and that doesn't happen as frequent. So I would be really up a creek if I had to rely on just acting. So I'm so lucky that I can take my career into my own hands and go out there and perform and create material and make people laugh, and people are so kind and lovely. And this tour was a long time coming. We were supposed to start in March of 2020. Obviously that didn't happen. So a year and a half later, we finally are getting to do these shows.
Well, you have over 30 sold out shows. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's been incredible.
And what about, you know, I know David Spade is going to be a special guest on part of this tour.
We already did those together. We did a Vegas together and that was really cool. But now, yeah, we're doing our own shows. Hopefully we'll get to do another one at some point, but, this tour is all me. It's all a whole new hour. It's nothing that was on Sweet and Salty, my Netflix special. I finally made that leap from club to theaters, and we keep adding shows and adding cities. It's been unbelievable. It's really blown me away, the response that I've gotten.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of dates. Like, you're literally on the road through at least the end of, I think I saw May. That's a real...
It'll probably go through July.
Oh, wow. Just listen, just keep adding dates. I'm like, okay, right?
I'm going to need a nap by August.
Is stand up, you know, like you always hear from comedians, like, is it really, you know, like with everything you've done in the business, is it really some of the hardest work or no? Like, you take control of, like you said, your career, and it's not for you as hard as I'm thinking it is compared to everything else.
The stand up is a difficult medium for sure. It is not for everybody. And you meet certain comics that you go, oh, they're going to have a really hard time on the road. It is not for everybody. It is not glamorous. Once you get to theaters, it's a little bit easier because clubs are meant to have, there are so many distractions. People are eating, drinking, calling for the waitress, but that makes you a stronger comic. You all come up in that environment and you learn to deal with the whatever comes. And I think that makes you a better performer in a lot of different ways. But the act of being on the road is hard. Getting on a plane every weekend or every other weekend, renting cars, hotels, packing, unpacking. It's, you know, even pre-COVID, your, you know, immune system goes out of whack because you're surrounded by germs everywhere. It's not an easy life. You could be like on a TV show and then suddenly you're in a broom closet at a club, sitting by the vacuum cleaner. So it's a humbling profession. But if you're lucky to, you know, stick with it and keep moving up the ladder, it gets a little bit easier the more you do it. But still, even at this level, you're pooped. But
it's still hard.
The reward of it is you have this whole room full of people laughing and feeling good, and you're leaving hoping that they feel better than when they got there. And that's the reward.
I would agree with that. Well, listen, you've had this illustrious career and you've done all these things, but you know, another thing I love about you, Fortune, is, I mean, I have to say, you are a Housewives fan.
I am.
So let's just take a moment. Listen, okay. I'm over here in New York. I know Margaret Josephs very well. You've been on the Watch What Happened. That's your girl.
I love that. Margaret and I had so much fun.
I mean, how deep are you? Are you like, do you watch all the Housewives? Do you come in and out? You know, like you're on the road. You are busy, as we just said.
There's certain seasons I never miss in real time. And that's because I've been on the journey with them the entire time. And that is the OC, because that is the OG. I started watching it when it was Coda de Casa, you know,
back in the good old
Joe and Slade days. And so I've stuck with that because I'm, you know, you're just curious to kind of see where this goes. Love Beverly Hills. I didn't watch the early ones of that. My wife got me into it, and now this is one of my favorites. Atlanta, I love. New Jersey, I'm in and out of. But Margaret makes me laugh so much that I try to catch up on those for her. I have not watched much Dallas. And we've just started watching Potomac. We're just now getting into that one. And then Miami, I've never watched.
Potomac takes a minute.
Back, right?
It's back. Potomac takes a minute, like seasons one, okay. two, three, four. Really? But it gets like good. I mean, it was good, but it gets really good.
Is it worth
really
going through those seasons, or should I just go to like straight to like five?
I'm like a purist. I feel okay. if you miss some backstory on something, you're never going to really, it's just, right. I don't like to skip around. Moments.
That's what I love about the shows though. Like if anybody says anything immediately, there's like a clip like prove, like showing that they are lying or you know what I mean?
The Bravo like, editors, they will pull that out and you're like,
shady
oh,
bitches.
Yeah. Kind of.
But it's so funny. But to me, that's where the funny is. Like they definitely know like what's going to get people talking and what's going to like get attention.
They're so good at their jobs. Are you mm-hmm. watching the OC now? Like with the return of Fancy Pants Dubrow?
I am. Yeah, I'm watching it now. And although some of the fights the last few episodes seem very fabricated. I'm like, I don't know how authentic these fights are lately. They just like seem too dumb. You know what I mean?
I find every time there's new people, it's like, you know, the show and you want yeah. this to me. It's like, you want this so bad. Like you want this yeah, job
you can
and
tell.
Here you are. And it's too much.
Yeah, yeah. Like the new girl, is it Nicole? The one that's going through divorce?
Noella. Yeah.
Noella. Yeah. Okay. Like her going off on the
Jennifer,
the med spa chick. You're like this. That's just a stupid fight. Like that's not like a real fight. You're mad because she posted a like photo and tagged you in it. You know what I mean? Like,
and you're calling her thirsty. I mean,
I know. I'm like, that's what I said to my wife. I'm like, literally everyone that's on the show is thirsty. Like, that's the whole point of being on the show. And then the whole fight with Shannon. I said to my wife, I was like, well, why wouldn't you mention like, hey, isn't that weird that they're hanging out with the chick that sued? Like, I would say that. To me, like, they act like this is some big secret. I'm like, I, as a human, would be like, hey, isn't that weird? That girl, like, sued him, and now they're all hanging out. So, anyway, that seemed like a weird fight, too.
So, are you Team Shannon or Team Heather? I mean...
I don't know, because they all end up doing something dumb. I don't really take the team's sides. I really just more enjoy it. It's one of those shows that I can watch and just like not think about anything and just laugh. Like, I mean, I was laughing the other day saying, I wonder what Bolo is up to thinking about the Atlanta Housewives.
I mean, out of all the thoughts you could have, Fortune, I wouldn't think that would be the one. I mean, I've often wondered what, you know, Bolo has been up to in the dark hours of the night, but that's just me.
That's true. I get that, but I was more of just like, do you think his career is like, is he in demand? Has Bolo's like a calendar filled up since then?
Well, let me tell you one thing about Bolo that I know.
What's that?
He doesn't really want to talk because my team has tried.
Yeah.
We have tried again. Listen, there's very few people in the Housewives world that escape my claws.
Yeah.
No pun intended in making a reference to your starring role in Claws, but Bolo doesn't. Bolo doesn't just, I think he wants to work, but I don't think he's not thirsty. And I don't think he wants to talk about either that, or my other thought goes to like, you know, Candy is like, listen,
right.
This is what you need to do when you're in the dungeon and here are all your NDAs. And like, maybe. I don't know, but he does not want to come on the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast. So there we go.
Candy has learned that hasn't she even said like people have to sign NDAs?
Yeah.
He
doesn't do other interviews. It's not like me. I mean, he's on Watch What Happens even. And like, he barely answered Andy's questions. I'm like, you better answer daddy's questions or you're going to be like, forget about me over here.
He don't care. Well, that was one of the greatest episodes of TV when Bolo was introduced. Our mouth dropped. It was fantastic.
Well, see, I saw the dungeon show live and he's in when Candy toured,
really?
Like he was in the show. Yeah. So I already knew all about Bolo and what to expect. Listen, seeing it live, you're still like, I'm so confused about what's happened. Like, you're just like, I don't understand this. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, then Candy has hired a tried and true guy for her show. If he's not spilling the beans, she's got to hold on to Bolo.
Bolo is. And, you know, speaking of your wife, I just saw she posted, I mean, maybe like a week or two ago, her picture with Kathy Hilton. She ran into Kathy Hilton somewhere.
We really enjoyed Kathy on the, we did not know what to expect. Like most people, I didn't know she was so funny. Obviously a lot of the humor she's not intending. But we had no idea when, I mean, like everyone, when she goes, who is Hunky Dory? I died. I cried for like 5 minutes. It was some of the best television watching her. So I think she's coming back, right? I think they figured that all out.
She's coming back. I mean, I assume she got some amount of money that she wanted. So
yeah. We saw her at an event and Jack, like rarely does my wife want a picture with someone. She's like, I have to get a picture with Kathy. And I go, well, you know, if it makes sense. And I went to the bathroom and she said Kathy came and like sat down beside her because her heels were hurting and they got a picture. So
when she sits next to you, just ask for that picture.
That and what was she said something else that was a true classic, but it's escaping me right now.
All I know is she took a nap during a cast trip. Like if any other cast member was like, I mean, I'm tired, they'd be like, honey, you are fired. Like, you understand, like this is work. When Kathy Hilton's sleeping, they're like, well, I mean, if we say something to her, she's just gonna quit. So we really,
right?
I mean,
I think that's the beauty of her on the show, is she doesn't need it and she would quit in 2.2 seconds. So everybody like treats her different, like that she gets a certain amount of respect that no one gives each other on that show. Like she even bosses her Kyle around and it's incredible.
It's like, it's, I'm like, the woman, like, why is no one understanding this? She's sleeping during a cast trip. Like this is grounds for termination. Like production would make anyone else get up and be like, your scene started 5 minutes ago. You have to go down there.
But they know better.
They're like, she would literally go home. She would say like, okay, I need 5 minutes. And then she would be out the door.
She's sleeping with that fan on that she brings herself, which I'm obsessed with. I'm also obsessed that she eats on TV trays.
It's great.
They're giving us exactly what we want. We want her and we need to see more of her life. All of the people, like the dinners in her house. I mean, everything is just like a true housewife's fantasy.
That dinner when it was all coming down with Erica, where that butler was just like pouring the martinis and he's just like, I have never seen something like this, probably in his head. Like, this is not how Kathy's guests behave.
No, because you know everyone minds their P's and Q's at that house. And he must have just been like, I don't know what's going on.
Like, what is this new group that Kathy's gotten herself involved with? We're going to have a talk later. Miss Kathy.
What is Hunky Dory? Greatest line.
It was the greatest line. Do you get starstruck? Like when you meet people?
Who was Hunky Dory? Is that what she said? Who was Hunky Dory?
It was the best line of the whole season. And I think she offset Erica, like all the drama with Erica.
I know. Cause there was a lot of Erica stuff. It was pretty heavy. What did you ask?
Do you get starstruck? Like, you know, here's your wife. She never asked for pictures, but then she had to, Kathy, like, you know, with just not housewives, just like Hollywood. Like, are you the type that gets starstruck or are you?
Yeah, for sure. I get excited when I see certain people. I mean, I can't off the top of my head think of who, but yeah, for sure. I mean, I get excited when I see people I've worked with. Two very famous Jennifers, Jennifer Aniston and Jennifer Garner. I've driven them both in movies. I drove Jennifer Aniston in an Uber and Jennifer Garner in an ambulance. And I still talk to both of them, but I still even get starstruck when I see them and they're, you know, talking to me. I'm just like pinching myself. Like, this is so cool.
Jennifer Aniston is a good one to get starstruck by.
Oh, she's so wonderful. I mean, they're both truly wonderful. I still talk to them both on Instagram, and the fact that they would take time, to just, I don't know, have a conversation. And I know that's a normal human thing to do, but they're just very busy women, and both are so kind. And Jen is like, every time I see Jennifer Aniston, she's just like, she's warm, you know, lovely and cares. She's like, I was looking at pictures of you and your wife on Instagram, and you know, she's so beautiful and your mom seems really cool. You're like, what? You're like looking at my life? That's so cool.
Jennifer Aniston is trolling you on Instagram.
She's admitted this, but she had an Instagram before. She was on Instagram before people knew she was on Instagram.
It's all about that secret Instagram.
That's right.
Well, what about, you have your podcast, you have your show, What a Joke with Pop on Fortune. Mm-hmm. Do you have anyone that you would just love to interview? Like if you could do an interview, like, is there anyone on the top of your list?
Well, Carol Burnett was that person for me. I was like, she's been on Netflix shows. How can we talk to her? So we actually did interview her on the phone for like 30 minutes. And I cried at the end of it because I got to tell her about my grandmother. She asked me about my name. Just hearing someone I've loved my entire life just have that kind of conversation with me, just like all the emotions just came back. So that one's, I wouldn't mind talking to her again because I would cry again. I would love to interview Oprah. That would be pretty insane. She's a little too busy.
That's not a bad one to
call into Netflix is a joke. But that would be pretty incredible to get to have any sort of conversation with her. I would really love that. I really like her and admire her.
She would be a good one. I mean, I get it.
Beyonce.
Well,
she's not busy, right?
Listen, I get it. Well, first of all, I have cried after interviews too, so I totally understand.
Yeah.
Like you just have moments.
Yeah.
I had a moment today where like I interviewed Marie Osmond and it was just like, I don't know. It was just one of those things of like
sweet, beyond.
And then afterwards I cried. I was like,
yeah,
what's,
I get it.
Just for a minute, like, but then I pulled myself together.
There's certain people that we've all come up with, right? They're a part of our childhood, a part of our early years, still a part of our lives where like suddenly that, like you think about the person that you were, you know, me, I think about growing up in a town of 9,000 people, you never think when you're in this tiny town that you'll ever be in a position to do anything beyond that town, or you never think about that you could be a comedian or a journalist or whatever. That just seems so far-fetched. Narnia seems more, you know, realistic than Hollywood to a person in a tiny town.
Totally.
And then suddenly you're in this like full circle moment where you're talking to this person that you watch for years. It's definitely an emotional thing.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You're like, I'm going to own this, but then I'm going to break down after.
Yeah, I'm going to do my job and then cry like a baby.
It's totally how I do it. What about, because, you know, you mentioned a few times, like Chelsea was the first one that kind of, you know, gave you a chance and like, you know, you were quote unquote different, as you say, and you don't fit the box. Like, was that really a thing? And like, do you think the world has changed? Like, what would it be different if you were just starting out now? Or you think it would be the same challenges or media has come far?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think in the last 5 or 6 years that the industry has started to embrace people of all walks of life, of all different shapes and sizes, being different was suddenly started, it started to be more of a feather in your cap per se, than being the cookie cutter thing. And, you know, I experienced that early on in my career where, like, you're not skinny, you're not, you know, you have this thick accent, your hair's wild, you're tall and, you know, chubby, we don't know what to do with you. Now we're entering this time of like, why wouldn't she be on TV? You know what I mean? Like, it's cool to like finally be coming into an era where that being different isn't held against you. And I find in stand up, I was singing stand up for years. It's just the industry is very late to it. Audiences were telling me, hey, we like you. We like that you're different. We relate to you. We relate to your stories. And the industry was like, no thanks. So the audiences were telling me pretty early on. So I always appreciated that. And I only knew that because I did stand up. And so what the industry is finally catching on to is that people now care more about relatability than they do about if you're, you know, a supermodel or whatever that thing is that used to be so praised.
I would agree with that. I think people like relatability and flaws and just like today I'm having together and yesterday I was a mess. Sorry, but this is how I am today. What about, you know, like you got married, like you have your sweater on with a rainbow. I'm like a self-respecting gay man. So like, yay, go. But, you know, like you've always been like, you know, a great representation for the community, which,
thank you.
You know, you've always been. How was getting married during this time of our worlds and everything that's going on? COVID.
Definitely interesting, because we had planned to get married and we thought we would get married in like August of 2020. That was always sort of in the back of our head, but we knew we were never going to have like a traditional wedding. We always thought we'd have a thing and then a big party. Then COVID hit and we were like, well, I guess we're not doing that. We had started to look at venues and luckily hadn't nailed anything down. And, we just sort of put it aside and thought, you know, I guess it just won't happen for a while. And then Ruth, truth be told, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. And I think, you can attest as a gay, the gays were just like, you know, shit, what does this mean for us? It was a really dark time, and politically, not that it's not now, you know, there was a lot of question marks. An election was looming. The Supreme Court was just about to significantly shift. And we thought, what if we can't, what if we've been together, you know, 6 years and suddenly can't get married? And, you know, it seemed like a real possibility at the time. So we were like, what are we waiting on? Let's just get married. We've been together long enough. And it ended up being the most beautiful way that we could have ever gotten married. And we never would have done it like that had it not been for the state of the world. But it got to be about us and our day, and we Zoomed our families. I think it was harder for them to not be there. But then, this past October, we finally had a party and everyone came out. And luckily it was right before the variant got out of hand. And, we had, you know, everyone felt good and grateful to be in a room with friends and family. And it was a really another beautiful weekend. So we got very lucky that somehow it, even though it didn't go as planned, it ended up being really perfect for us.
And it was a lot in part because of like Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing and just,
I mean, just not, you know, we, as a, you know, people who aren't gay don't realize the fragility of if you haven't had certain rights, they can be taken away. And if you think anything's set in stone, I mean, I think the current political climate shows you that nothing is quite set in stone. Everything can be brought back up and, you know, you don't know the outcome. And so we didn't want to take any chances.
Wow. I mean, I thought of it. I mean, I'm single AF, so I thought of it, but I didn't really, I mean, that's a interesting, I never really put two and two together, but that makes a lot of sense, honestly.
Yeah, but just because I don't know, had the election gone a different way, what path that would have gone down? Would marriage equality have come back up? It's hard to say, but there were so many unknowns at the time, we didn't want to take the chance. And we knew we wanted to be married, and we just didn't want to wait any longer. We're getting older. We're like, let's just go for it. And I'm glad we did, you know, it's been great. And I'm happy that we didn't wait for some quote unquote right time, because as you can see, the world is still very unpredictable with the COVID and the variants and all the stuff. So I think at this point, you know, life had to keep moving, and we did the best we could.
I love it.
Within that.
I love it. Two final questions before we go. Speaking of your wife, how many people come up to you and make a Charlie's Angels reference?
They say a lot. Wife. We'll see. Her name's Jacqueline Smith, like the Charlie's Angel. They definitely do a double take when they, you know, see her name. Or she used to laugh that people at the airport would think that the angel was coming, and Jacqueline would show up, and they'd be like, oh. Like, she was like, so people were like bummed out right away meeting me. I was like, oh, but now a lot of people know her as Jack. She goes by Jax instead of Jacqueline. So they don't make the connection as much.
I just think, you know, listen, you are now famous. You've had such a career. So it's different now. But before, I just think of dinner reservations in LA, right? New York. You know, back. And just so you know, because I know you don't watch Miami, now we have our first outcasted lesbian housewife.
I saw that. It's Martina Navratilova's, I can't even see.
Wife.
Her wife, yeah.
That's and so cool. Here's the thing. I'm like, okay, so like, I get it. Like, Martina will be on once. Martina is on the damn show. Like, I figure we'll see her way more than as a viewer of Housewives you would ever expect. Like, I would
think. We'll have to watch it. I'm so curious. I've never met Martina, but she's quite a trailblazer. So that'd be cool to watch.
She's doing art now. I just figured, you know, your wife, okay, go to work. Like, I'll bop in once.
They're power lesbians.
Power lesbians.
Power lesbians. I love that.
Well, listen, you are a power lesbian too, Fortune.
We're on our way up. We're trying to be.
Everyone needs to, like, get tickets to your show. Where can everyone find you online who doesn't follow you, who wants to?
Well, if you want to come see a show, like you said, I'm going everywhere. I've been to a lot of places already, but there's still a lot to come. FortuneFeemster.com for tickets. And then I try to stay fairly active on Instagram, which is my name, @FortuneFeemster. If you just put in @Fortune, the rest will come up. No one knows how to spell my last name.
I'm like, I imagine there's not a lot of Fortunes on Instagram.
Not a lot, at least not comedians. There is the magazine, the Fortune magazine.
Just look for the one with the blue check, people. Well, listen, thank you so much. Sex Appeal was great.
Thank you.
Well, keep in touch.
Thank you for talking with me and allowing me to share my love of the crazy housewives world.
That and your great career. I mean, I think you are so funny. I love watching you in almost everything you do. And I just keep in touch. You're awesome.
I appreciate it. I've been working really hard, and I'm just really grateful that anybody cares enough to want to see me do my thing.
I care. I'm gonna have to check out when you're in the New York area.
I know. Yeah, I would love that.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, take care.
Of course. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're @BehindVelvetRope on Instagram. We are @DavidYontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts.
Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.